It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
As there's a long fly ball left field by Torkelson toward that corner, and Torque sends it up and out of here, deep to left field. It's a Sunday Torque bomb and a 1-0 lead. That ball's crushed. Deep right field, Carey Carpenter one more time. 1-2-2 to Henderson from Foley. He struck him out. The Tigers clear Minnesota for the time being.
Get into the eye here. Henry's sweet spot right off the gut. Derrick Henry running for the end zone. He's in. Touchdown, Baltimore. Westcott, close one. Corner. He's got it. Touchdown.
Runs here. That's where we'll be on a jet sweep.
No, it's a fake. How about that fake? Lamar right up the middle for a first down.
What a fun game. Ravens come out to a big lead. They hang on at the end. Lamar finishes it off. A game they dominated on the ground.
I thought our bullpen pitched great today. I thought it was two really competitive games. Definitely had a chance to win last night. A great chance to win last night. Didn't get it done. Had a chance today also. I thought we just had some unfortunate breaks today.
We consider every game a must win, you know. But if you don't win a game, your season's not over. It's a lot of football to be played. And this is a very good football team. You know, you saw it out there. They're very capable. They're a very tough team. And I just proud of the way our guys handled it.
Well, it's a tale of two birds on a Sunday afternoon. One at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. The Orioles, heartbreaking loss yet again to the Detroit Tigers. Yet again coming from behind, as we have seen a lot since the second half of the season started. Actually goes back to June 20th. Since then, when the Orioles were 49-25, three games up in the East. Best record, I believe, at the time in the American League, for sure. Since then, 82 games, 37-45.
Damn.
82 games. That's more than half a season, Vinny, according to my math, and I'm not good at math. And then Saturday night, we'll get into it in more in-depth. We'll bring Nolan in a few. Worst loss of the season. One of the more recent ones, sure, but second and third, nobody out. Meat of the lineup, and you can't get a runner from third base. It's crazy. Mazzolino, what are you doing with the Holiday at the bag? And then yesterday, Albert Suarez, who, by the way, his earned run average is over 7 in the month of September. And he, outside of the three homers, that's like a, what was the old, was it Wink or the, it's like, hey, outside of that 90-yard run, our run defense was great. I mean, yeah, well, they still count. But he pitched okay, but he was giving up the long ball. The Orioles came from behind, tied it. Carpenter's, or Meadows, rather, stole the home run from Kowser, which would have put the Orioles up. Birds 0 for 8, runners in scoring position. Now they wait. Yankees tomorrow in the Bronx. The crazy thing is the Yankees are going to win the East, and the Orioles are going to clinch a wild card spot. So it could be on a night they're both popping champagne in New York. But Orioles, a frustrating series, to say the least, with the Tigers, and a frustrating second half of the year, no doubt about it. Now, speaking of second halves, Ravens yesterday against the Cowboys. They're up 28-6. Blowout city. It was. I was over my cousins watching the game with my aunt and a couple other cousins, and my wife is there, and I'm like, ah, let's get ready to go. Because it's literally walking distance. I was going to walk home, watch the end of the game at the house.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Dallas scores. Then all of a sudden, Dallas gets the onside kick. I'm like, give me another beer.
Right.
And wound up staying until the end of the game. So the Ravens up big time, dominating the festivities for the better part of, what, 2.5 quarters? Is that fair to say, Vinny?
And three quarters.
And then Dallas just got crazy, man. And the Ravens made some mistakes. Questionable officiating, I would say. And I got no problem ragging on the refs. The pass interference, the illegal contact was garbage.
The illegal contact, roughing and then the O-way, yeah, the O-way.
Roughing the passer, was that was terrible. But the Ravens do hold on. But something tells me, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's here. I'm here. Nolan's here. That I'm going to get more of a, we won, but no one's satisfied with the win kind of vibe from Baltimore, because yet another fourth quarter defensive episode, if you will.
You know, it was funny, like listening to Brady talk. Norm, you probably heard it too. You know that, I mean, it's 28-6. Ravens get a first, you know, the third quarter, they're dominating. And, you know, he's talking about how great the Ravens are. The Cowboys aren't trying, blah, blah, blah. And then the fourth quarter started, and the missed field goal, that got them going. And then, Bob, how about 230 yards in the fourth quarter for Dallas? 230. And the Ravens in the second half, 10 penalties, 10. It's crazy. You know, and then they were, in Harb said, they were ultra conservative. You know, I mean, they didn't go for things. The field goal, it was fourth and two. And you've been running it down their throats. You know, 2 yards was, you know, nothing at that time. I kind of wish they would have been a little more, because, Bob, if he makes the field goal, that's the dagger. 31-6, it's over. And that's probably what Harb's thought. And then you let them back in the game. And then, you know, like you said, then, you know, they score. Okay, we're going to get the ball. We'll eat clock. No, but then they get the onside kick and bam, bam. And then your defense been on the field. They're exhausted. You know, they're missing tackles and everything else in the fourth quarter.
So when they get conservative offensively, is that a Munkin thing or is Harbsy kind of?
That's Harbsy.
Yeah.
Harbs is telling, you know, because, you know, it's third and five. You know, Harbs says, you know, Harbs will probably tell, you know, I want to run the ball, run the ball. Let's, you know, let's just punt, you know, get out of it. You know, that's definitely a Harbs call.
Well, if you're Todd Monken, don't you resist to some level, understanding what you're doing here to maintain or accumulate a pretty impressive lead there?
Well, the thing about it is, you know, it's 28-6, then it's 28-12, and, you know, it's like, all right, let's just continue to eat the clock. We can punt them back. I mean, Bob, then they go 91.
Yeah.
91 yards on you. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, and Lamar saved the day. I mean, Lamar make, you know, he makes the great, I mean, that third down throw, it was a little behind him too, to Zay Flowers. Yep. If he doesn't make that throw, I mean, we're going to overtime at least.
Yeah, and Flowers, by the way, redeeming himself because he kind of botched the first onside kick. And were you surprised? And look, we've got 4 hours to get into this, that Dallas was going that route. What, 9 minutes left in the game, they went for the first onside kick. And you know, things kind of got a little crazy there from there.
Well, yeah, because you're down to, what, 9 minutes, 8 minutes or whatever. You're down, what, 3 scores. So you're not going to have enough because your defense hadn't stopped them. So I mean, Bob, in the third quarter, the Ravens had the ball almost 10 minutes in the third quarter. So and even in the fourth quarter, they had it 8. I mean, that's how fast, Bob, they got 230 yards in 6 minutes. 230 yards in 6 minutes.
That's video game level offense there.
I mean, that's, you talk about chunk plays. Crazy. So
Ravens get their first win, but a lot of people are going to feel defeated because the defense, remember last week against the Raiders, they blew 2 10-point second half leads, couldn't finish games. They finished it, but they needed the offense to kind of close it out because Dallas was out of timeouts. And you mentioned the Lamar's throw to Flowers, and then Lamar himself, we heard the call on Fox, you know, get that first down, then it's take a knee time and get out with a W. And, you know, look, style points are great. And for the first 3 quarters, the style points were very much in favor of the Ravens. But what happened in the fourth quarter is that something to maybe worry about moving ahead with the season. You got Buffalo coming in Sunday night, and they've got a premier quarterback in Josh Allen and a really good pass rush coming to town. I mean, and Lamar was kind of running for his life a lot in yesterday's game. Offensive line played better, I guess, based on the previous 2 weeks. But the defense, very similar to 2 years ago when Mike McDonald's first year, Ravens couldn't close games, but Mike McDonald stabilized, was brilliant last year. Now 3-0 as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, it's definitely worrisome. I mean, like, the thing that is really scary is Carolina goes to the Raiders and you know, beats them.
Handily.
Know. Yes. And it's like, damn, we lost to that team? You know, I mean, that was crazy, but it's a different week. But the thing about it is with the defense, absolutely got to be nervous about that. Absolutely.
Schematically or personnel-wise, what's the big concern here?
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of everything, Bob. I mean, the penalties and the penalties, missed tackles, and then you got to throw the offense in there too, because I mean they could eat more clock, you know, specialty. You could throw it all in there, because if he makes the field goal, it's 31-6. We might be looking at 31-13, something like that. Hey, defense, good job, you know. But then they just, you know what the problem is, Bob, is in both games, when they gave up the yards, can't make the big play. Who's that guy on defense that's going to get the sack, get the fumble, make a play, interception? Who's that? Instead of PIs and giving up yards and doing missing tackles, all those things. That's the problem. They need somebody to make a play in the fourth quarter to stop the momentum.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens are 1-2. They do get the win on the road at Dallas Cowboys. They're in trouble a little bit there, it seems. In the NFC East, you want to vent, you can. You want to praise, you can. Lamar and Derrick Henry are outstanding. If you had Mark Andrews on your fantasy team, you kind of got jobbed there.
Oh boy.
He didn't do much of anything. But Lamar only threw the ball, what, 14 times? 12 to, or 15 times. It wasn't like he was out there Eric Coryell in it. But they got a win. They got Buffalo coming in. Very tough opponent. Then they go to Cincinnati. So much needed win. That is probably an understatement. Orioles, however, cannot get the much needed win. They've lost 5 straight series. They're off today. They head to New York. They're still going to make the playoffs. But I'm sure excitement. Let's just say Tigers fans are more optimistic about their postseason chances than Oriole fans are. Even though Arias came back and Westberg came back, they both helped. And I'm guessing Mountcastle will be in the Bronx in a couple of days as well. Terps win. They're 3-1. They go to Indiana as underdogs. A lot going on in the world of sports. We're talking about it here on The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
182 yards, touchdown to Rashad Bateman. Was not sacked. How about that? Sackless in Big D. Quarterback rating, a robust 139.4. Also rushed for another 87 with a touchdown. And all right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is kind of a winning quarterback MVP level. I got this sort of moment. And the big throws that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, he closed it out himself, period. Because that whole, that last 2 minutes or whatever, that was all Lamar. The runs and the passes, it was all him. But the thing about it is you talk about no sacks. I want to say, Bob, they only threw it 4 times the second half. They threw it 11 times the first half. And of the 15 throws, there probably was 3 dropback passes where Lamar was in them. And on all 3 throws, he was pressured. I mean, that's why they don't do it. And that's why, you know, the O-line, I mean, they rushed it, what, over 45 times?
45 runs, yep.
Yeah, and the O-line does a much better job coming off. And Falele, I'll give him his due. In the run game, he looks like he's in better shape now. It looks like he can kind of motor a little bit more. He got up to the linebackers and stuff. He was coming off the ball, doing it, getting his body in the way. I thought in the run game he was okay. In the pass, he still that's why they don't do it. And Bob, I mean, how shocked were you? No Rosengarten at all.
Yeah. The snap count was what, 0?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had played well.
17, yeah. Yeah. That's why we thought he was going to start. So that was kind of a shocker. But they protected the offensive line. You know, and how do you protect the offensive line? Run the football. And it was a perfect game because Dallas stinks against the run, and they don't tackle well, which showed up, you know, with the yak yards. I don't know if we got my key, you know, if we got 65 yak yards, but Aguilar probably had like 45, 50 on the one.
Yeah, 56, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so it was a very good confidence builder for the O-line. Lindebaum's still struggling in the pass. I mean, you know, I mean, he had Parsons lined up over him, and Parsons just walked right around him. He's too quick for him. But on the three dropbacks, Lamar struggled, or Lamar was scrambling on all of them.
410-583-1057 is the number. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Vinny will give you an update on his latest procedure, which obviously went well. That's why he's sitting here. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. No musical themes on a Monday. We just go with Nolan's flow, and it's always on point, I guess, for the most part. Orioles lose again to the Detroit Tigers. I keep thinking of Texas. Will they have sort of a Texas-like meltdown in the postseason? Five straight series losses for the Orioles. And as I said earlier, 37-45 since June 20th. That's eight games below 500 and more than half a season in games played. But they did get the reinforcements back, and Westberg and Arias both helped. And I'm guessing Mountcastle is going to be ready to rock and roll, hopefully, for the Yankees. And maybe more importantly, for the Twins, and then into the wild card round opponent to be determined. Terps are 3-1. They're going to Indiana, who's undefeated at 4-0 in the Big Ten. We'll get into all of the picks and the college talk. Anthony Joshua got knocked into next week. He thinks it's October 1st. He got hit so hard on Saturday night by Daniel Dubois.
I saw that punch.
Ooh, it was Hawaiian punch. Ooh-hoo. Like the little cartoon. He was sucking canvas face first down. But let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Derek in East Baltimore. Derek, thanks for holding. What's up? Good morning on a Monday.
Morning, Bob. Morning, Van.
Morning.
Good to have you back, Van, my friend, man. Missed you on the show, man.
I appreciate Bob, that. Thank you.
Bob, we love you too, brother.
Hey, man, I'm feeling the love. Must be the cologne today. I don't know.
But look, so I know it'll probably be an unpopular conversation, right, to have, right? Because I know how beloved that man is in this city. But we have a potential Justin Tucker problem, man. And that missed field goal yesterday changed the whole trajectory of that game.
Amen. No doubt.
It killed the momentum.
Yes.
It killed it. And you can make the case that last week's missed field goal was a big one, because instead of Oakland kicking a game winner, there would have been a field goal to tie the game. So the man has been great for so long that you have to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt to, you know, to correct what's going on, but that's a potential problem there. This fourth quarter stuff, right? It's a definite problem. It's a problem. The way I see that, I noticed at the end of the game yesterday, Lamar's comments was that, you know, at the end of the game that, you know, he wanted to be a little bit more aggressive going down the stretch, right?
I agree.
And I couldn't agree with that more as well, man, because to me, in the words of Herm Edwards, you have to play to win, man. You cannot play to lose. If you're so concerned about the offensive line, the way that it appears that Harbaugh and the coaching staff is, that running the ball 45 times a game is not sustainable, man.
No,
that is not a sustainable formula, because you're going to come to a point where you're going to have to throw the ball. You have a 2-time MVP quarterback. Let him cook. Let him throw the ball. You got to do it. So, I mean, listen, we won the game. That's the bigger picture. We won the game. We needed it. We won. You know what I mean? But I just feel like going forward, man, we have to, you know, in these fourth quarters, we just got to be more aggressive offensively. I think that's the key to figuring out some of this fourth quarter stuff. But thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Derek, always good to hear from you.
I would say with that one, Bob, is all right, the Ravens, their first possession in the fourth quarter, you know, they got 4th-and-2 on the Dallas 28, and they're up 28-6. And you got Tucker's lining up for a 46-yarder. He doesn't miss inside of 50. You're going to make it 31-6, and the game's over. I don't have a problem with that one, you know, kicking a field goal there. I have no problem. Now, you know, the Tucker problem, Bob, the kicks are getting worse. You know, he's missing them much more, and it's inside of 50.
And it seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, they're all drifting left.
Yes.
Because he was closer to the right hash yesterday, and the ball just hooked to the left side. And missed badly, by the way.
Yeah, like it's the opposite of my drives hitting golf. I'm usually way right to the right. He's pulling them to the left. Now, the problem was after Dallas scored and made it 28-18, the Ravens have third and three with 5:37 to go in the game, third and three at the Dallas 40, and they threw an incomplete pass to Andrews. You've been running it. You know, you're running, you're kicking our ass running it. You're third and three. In my mind, let's run it twice. Hey, Todd, you got two plays. We're going to go for it on fourth down. We got to get the momentum back. Instead, they threw the incompletion to Andrews. That's the only one that I could really argue with there. That's where he got ultra conservative.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. You want to get in at Sports at 583-1057. Gianna Hahn, Baltimore Banner, talk about last night's win for the Ravens. Well, late afternoon into the evening. Whip around 11:15. Tons going on in the world of sports over the weekend. And Vinny's Keys, we'll look back at those. I got Jared Dubin from CBS talking NFL. How about them Minnesota Vikings at 3-0? Same with the Seattle Seahawks. What the hell's going on around here in the National Football League? And then John Mioli later in the show. Talk about the Orioles. They're going to the playoffs. But, boy, to say they're limping in is probably an understatement. Saturday night, first and second and third, nobody out? Gunnar Henderson ropes a missile to right center field. Center fielder made a hell of a play, preventing the ball from getting deeper. The Orioles win right there. Second and third, nobody out. Mullins is up. Santander's coming up next. Moo man. Mullins, weak tapper to second. I'm dropping expletives. I'd get us fined for saying what I said as that happened. Then Santander on a 2-0 pitch, swings at ball three, lofts it into short left. Shortstop made a hell of a play, by the way, but runs into the left fielder.
Yep.
Down for the count. Holiday's up the line. Why is he not tagging? Scores easily. And I said to my wife, Kowser comes up and said, here comes the fly ball that we needed two bats ago. The last two at bats. And, of course, flies out to right center field. It was the most recent loss up until yesterday. But Saturday's loss, the most galling of the year for the old Bobster here.
Well, I'll agree with you on the loss. I don't think I agree on the tagging, though. I don't think he would have been safe. The tremendous play by the shortstop just to field it in the first place, hold on to the ball. And he immediately has the presence of mind to sit up and gets it into the infield. I don't think that it's a guarantee he scores there. Maybe it's bang, bang, and he ends up being safe. But to me, if he's tagging there, it's not a guaranteed obvious run.
Well, he's on his knees, literally, right. Throws a little dribbler to the third baseman. Jackson Holliday's not lugging a piano. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with your disagreement. I think
like I said, I just think it's close at best. And at that point, it could have come down to a tag. Still got to get the job done there, though. I mean,
no doubt.
Look, you know, it doesn't excuse the weak ground out that came before it. Even with two outs, you got talented hitters. Got to find a way to get that ball on some grass. So we can all agree on this. That was certainly one of the more brutal losses of the season.
Because they fall behind, they come back.
Right.
And it looks like they're about to get over the hump, just like yesterday. And they can't get over the hump. All right. They hit five home runs, you expect to win, like they did Friday. But how often have they been doing that lately? Not a lot.
Right. They're basically in the same situation. You asked me about the Ravens, Bob, what they can do in the fourth quarter. Somebody's got to make a play. Same with them. Now, Bob, I mean, a pop-up to short left. You got to be back to the bag anyhow, right? Why would you be halfway down the line?
Because if they collide and the ball goes,
But you're going to score anyhow.
Maybe he figured it was going to drop. And the shortstop's back to the play.
Yes. And he's falling down.
Oh, let's drop a little 0-for-8 yesterday with runners in scoring position, too. So there we are. But the Orioles are a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. Who knows? They'll get hot and do some great things in October. Detroit right now looks to be the Arizona Diamondback Texas Ranger from last year kind of team to deal with. The Ravens did win, But it still feels like a loss in the eyes of a lot of people because what happened? How many yards they give up in the fourth quarter?
230.
So let's get out to the phones. Go to Parkville. It's Chris. Chris, thanks for holding. What's up?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
All right.
Good. Glad to see you're doing good. Again, Vinny, that's good. Good
thank,
news.
Thank you. Yep.
But as far as the sustainability question, they cannot sustain the season. They can't keep going like this. It seemed like Munkin had a lot of slack on the leash, so to speak. On the first couple drives, they were moving the pieces around, and they were neutralizing that defensive guy on the other side of the ball.
Oh, Parsons. They went five plays for a touchdown and basically, it was like there was nobody on defense.
Yeah, and then they just kind of went into Harbaugh mode at the end there, and I think it's disheartening to the guys out there on the field, to tell you the truth. It's like you don't have confidence in them. It's like you should keep going what got you there, kind of like last year when they didn't run the ball after he said during half, we need to run the ball.
But, I mean, you can't have a problem with lining up Tucker for a 46-yard field goal. You can't have that, So the only issue you got is the third and three one. And now I'm saying don't throw it. Just keep pounding it. And because then if it's incomplete like it was, then you're punting. If not, if I'm Harbs, I said, Todd, you got two downs to get this first down. Let's run the ball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just keep it going. It's like he gets into this ultra conservative mode, and I don't know. Eat the clock.
Hey, they won the game. Yeah. I don't know. People are like, hey, whatever. Yeah, they were favored on the road. They were supposed to win. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call. To flip it a little bit to Dallas, how are they feeling right now? Oof. 1-2. They've lost three straight at home. Giving up a ton of points in the process. Run defense is like, holy.
Yeah, you got to feel good about your offense that they didn't quit, that they came back kind of thing. You got 230 yards in the fourth quarter. They're lucky they got a Thursday night game, Bob. Otherwise, they'd really be hearing it for all week long. But defensively, they got issues. They got severe issues defensively. They can't stop anybody. I mean, Bob, you're saying your defense, as bad as you played, you got a chance. If you can make a stop, we can find a way to win this game, and then Lamar just goes Lamar.
So that's enough of this nonsense. Yeah. Let's get out with a win. Let's get back to the phones. Oh, we have time for a call, don't we? Let's go to Arnold. It is Chris. Chris, thanks for holding. You're on with Vinny and Haney and Nolan.
Hey, it's nice to hear you back. You guys have a great show, and thanks for taking my call. Trying to touch on two things, maybe the Orioles and the Ravens a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a 29 game plan, and half the games this year will come back. Our pitchers give up the lead next inning, and we lose the game. I think I heard Jim Palmer say on Saturday the Orioles are 2-58 going into the eighth inning without the lead. That's not the Orioles team of last year. This team just, I don't know what's going on. Coaches definitely need to get fired. Some stuff needs to go on in the offseason, but it's just at least we got reinforcements. I thought we were surely going to win yesterday. I was there at the game. Everybody was having fun, and then next inning, solo home run, and we lose the game. And you're saying, we can't hit with people on run. It's inexcusable to lose on Saturday.
They were number one in the majors with runners in scoring position last year, and they're one of the worst teams, I would think, in the second half of this year especially. But Mountcastle was 1-for-3 at Norfolk. I'm guessing, Chris, he'll be in the Bronx. They're not going to catch the Yankees, barring the unforeseen. But get those extra bats. And how about Westberg and Arias making routine plays at third and second, respectively, that sometimes have been shaky for the Orioles here lately?
Yeah, I mean, we needed their defense for sure. Westberg is already back making great plays at second base. I don't know. I'm not defending Jackson Holliday, but the ump was kind of in his way. But you got to make those plays. You're a big leaguer, and it's just I don't know. It's just the Orioles. They got inexcusable losses this year, and it's just so frustrating. But, it's a good thing the Ravens won, because I was biting my fingernails the whole entire time in the fourth quarter. It's a classic Ravens win, but I'm happy Lamar was able to finally sustain a drive in the fourth quarter. That's something he hasn't really been able to do his whole entire career. We wouldn't be talking about the incompletion if Lamar sets his feet and makes a good throw, because Andrews was wide open. I know we should have just pounded the rock, but if he makes that play, nobody's upset with Harbaugh, really. But, I mean, the Zebras are also aiding the Cowboys' drives on with some, like, really questionable calls. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess the Chiefs and the Cowboys are the America's team, so they get preferential treatment from the refs. But it's like, just call a fair game, because, like, there's no way you can call a foul on a – like, he tackled him like a normal tackle. What else are we going to do? Two-hand touch the quarterback and they're down? I don't know.
But the illegal contact – hey, Chris, thanks for the call.
Yeah,
it was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, flies land on you harder than that.
Right. You could, and everybody thought it was on Ferguson, you know, when he tackled Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was on Williams.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls. We got Gianna Hahn talking about the Ravens. It was a win from the Baltimore Banner. Whip around 11, 15 tons going on in World Sports, and we'll look back at Vinny's keys. The Ravens won, but how many keys did they actually hit? But if you're on the phones, hang tight. Orioles are off today in the Bronx, where both the Yankees and Orioles are probably going to be drinking champagne. Probably watching the Yankees celebrate the winning of the American League East Championship. Yankees just swept the A's in Oakland. Orioles will, however, probably clinch the wild card in New York. So a lot of champagne going through Yankee Stadium. Ravens, they got a much-needed win. Looked like it was going to be a blowout puffy pants win.
Yeah.
And then it got dicey where the Ravens needed to clean out the clock, but they got it. That's all that matters. Now back on the horse next Sunday against the Bills. The Bills play tonight against Jacksonville. One of the two Monday night games. We'll get to our picks as the show rolls on. Maryland's 3-1. They go to Indiana, 7-point dogs. Indiana undefeated. We'll get into all of that as well. But we're taking your phone calls right now. Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner coming up. Talk Ravens with her. Top of the hour. Joe Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
You know, man, I talk about this perfect situation every time it comes around. No outs, two on. The best bunter on your team one time who couldn't even get a hit, but he became the bunter. If I wouldn't call the suicide squeeze on there, my name ain't what it is. I'm looking at all we need is to get the guy across the plate. Do you know how dramatic that would have been to see a suicide squeeze to end the game? I remember the Orioles used to do that when I was a kid. It make you jump out your seat. To me, that's more exciting than a home run, but now they make home runs exciting. That's all he had to do. And with Hyde, it's like a race car driver. If you can't drive my car right, you got to get from behind the wheel. And really, I need him from behind the wheel, because there's been too many situational things that he could have did, even though the players, to me, it seems they got free will. I mean, Bob, I don't see the Orioles, or I ain't worried about no other team, calling signals, you know, grabbing the ear, grabbing the couch, rubbing the belly. Do they still do that, Bob? I mean, do they call plays? I mean, I think the Orioles.
Drebin.
Yeah. I'm saying that they steal when they want to steal. A guy told me yesterday, he said, well, I'll tell you what, if they don't want them to steal, they'll put the stop sign on. But I don't see them Orioles. I ain't worried about nobody else. Calling plays to do things. And to me, the suicide squeeze would have been the most dramatic way to end that game. You had the best bunter on your team. Why wouldn't you call that, Bob? Bob, I got to go. I'm getting upset again. I'll talk to you later.
Here's Joe to the hit and run. No pun intended. But infield was playing in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little hard ground ball probably gets through. That was a Billy Martin move, by the way. The old suicide squeeze when he was Billy balling in Oakland. He would do that in a heartbeat. Hey, look, Santana swings at ball three. They're pitching around him, and he gives them an out. And then, you know, again, to respectfully disagree with Nolan, the Holiday probably should. Well, whatever, they lost. They lost again yesterday, 0-8. Runners in scoring position. They get the day off. They're still going to the playoffs. First time in, what, 27 years they'll make the playoffs back-to-back years. And let me stress this, too. 3 years ago, they were the worst team in baseball. That's why they got to pick Jackson Holiday. You know who the second worst team was? Arizona. So how times have changed in just three short
years. Kansas City must have been up there, too.
Witt came in the year that
before,
Adley.
Yeah.
No, 2019. Let's go to William in Northeast Baltimore. William, what's up?
Hey, Bob and Vinny. I'm going to vent just a little bit. Just
go
a little
ahead
bit.
Vent, man. Do your thing.
Okay. First with the Orioles. Okay. Holiday should have been on the bag. Tagging and going. That's where we miss guys like Mateo. But that's little league ball. You standing 3 or 4 feet off the bag. He should have been right on the bag. It was an easy win for the Orioles. Easy win. Okay. Now to the Ravens. I remember, Benny, I heard you talking about, I think, the Raiders game when Andrews caught a three-yard pass and could barely get 3 yards.
Yes. Yep.
And fell out. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Why in the world was they throwing to Andrews and you got Isaiah Likely right now? I'm telling everybody. I don't know what everybody else is looking at, but here's what I'm looking at. Late in the game, I don't remember Isaiah Likely dropping a ball. I remember him catching everything thrown to him. Why was Isaiah Likely not targeted in that second half of the game? And even after the play to Andrews, they still should have went to Likely. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
All right, thanks, William. Always great to hear from you.
To be totally honest with you, they only threw it three times the second half. To be totally honest with you, I wish they would have ran it twice in that situation. Was Andrews open? It looked like he was open, but, you know, Brady even made the comment that linebacker was kind of in the way. He said it was a good thing that Lamar threw it high because otherwise it probably would have been picked off.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, we have time for another call. You make the call. He says yes to Bruce in Bel Air. Bruce, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Monday.
Yep.
I'm not a Harbaugh fan, but I want to take his side this time just for a minute. I know he's an analytics guy, and I usually hate that, but I got to tell you, if analytics, and I'm sure they do, in that case, say, you know, run the clock, get rid of the clock, that's your enemy. I mean, if it would have told me at the same time, that if I'd have had your fortune teller, Griselda or whatever her name is, if Ethel would have said, hey, if you do this, we'll win 28-25, I'd take it in a minute. But I just think, you know, that's what analytics call for, and it worked out. I mean, it was scary. But it did work, you know what I mean? So I mean, you know, our defense is going to go into give them chunks, but not the big play. And their offense is going into panic mode saying, we got to score. That's what usually happens in that case. But analytics was right. We won.
All right, Bruce, thanks for the call. I mean, I remember a couple of big plays from that Dallas offense in the fourth quarter, blown assignments and such from the Ravens. But – all right, you're trying to run, you're trying to eat clock, we get all that. But even Harbaugh himself said we got a little too conservative there. No doubt.
And, Bob, I still can recall one of their touchdowns where Roquan Smith's looking at like the hell's, where were you? You know, on the one, I can't remember who, 1 or 9 caught the touchdown. And Roquan's looking over at the safety saying, where were you?
Yeah, he was, let's say, a little animated in his frustrations with that. It was the Tolbert touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. It's 88-80-1057 The Fan. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. When we come back, however, Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner looked back at the win yesterday. But now you get ready for Buffalo coming up Sunday. How long do you celebrate picking up win number one? Whip around, left 15 tons going on. World of Sports, stay tuned for that. We'll look at Vinny's keys, funhouse trip. So we got plenty to do. Get on in here. We're talking sports on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.